welcome to worship this morning with Trinity. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here and delighted to greet you on this Sunday morning. If you are with us for the first time, really glad that you have chosen to spend this Sunday morning with us and delighted to have you as our guest. Whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, we'd love to know that you have shared this time with us. And you can let us know that by just filling out the Connect card that's inside your bulletin. And it's also a way for you to share some information that might help us get to know you better and things that you might be interested in knowing more about the ministries of Trinity. Today, as we always do here at Trinity every week, there is an opportunity to give to support a mission that is making a difference in our community. We do that through something we call the Mission Box, and there are boxes at each of the exit doors as you leave this morning. Our focus for today is the Acorn Clinic, and there's also a representative from Acorn here out by the Welcome Center, and she would be happy to talk with you and help you get to know the mission and ministry. There's also some information in your bulletin about that. But a wonderful connection to this time of year as we think about this season of giving to be able to support persons in need in our community. And today we kick off the season of Advent. Now, one thing I want you to know as we get started is that this year is a little bit unique in that the last Sunday of Advent is also Christmas Eve. They both fall on December 24th this year. So here's what that means for us. On the morning of December 24th, we will celebrate the fourth Sunday of Advent with one combined worship service at 10 o'clock. What time are we going to worship on December 24th in the morning? 10 o'clock. That's right. One service at 10 o'clock. It will be a song with lots of music and some scripture readings, lessons and carols. And then beginning at 3 o'clock that afternoon, we will follow our Christmas Eve service schedule that will take us all the way through midnight on Christmas Eve. You're welcome to join us for one or all of those if you like. We'll be here, and we'll be happy to have you here with us for any of those on Christmas Eve. So that's what's coming ahead. But today is when we get started on that journey. And so as we start this morning, I want to invite you to listen and hear again the voice that calls out to us from the wilderness.
Comfort my people. A voice is crying out, clear away in the desert.
Make level a highway
in the wilderness for our God.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain will be flattened.
The Lord's glory will appear, and all of humanity will be together.
Will you please stand and sing with us as we prepare the way for the Lord?
On this first Sunday of Advent, we light a candle to remind us of the prophet Isaiah's words. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined.
Prophets of old still long to be heard as they cry out for the salvation, liberation, and redemption of all humankind, offering words of hope for the outcast and downtrodden, and insisting on repentance that leads to lasting transformation and renewal.
Thank you for your unrelenting pursuit of humanity. No matter how far we stray from your ways, you refuse to give up on us. This week, as we reflect on the prophets who prepared the way for the Messiah's arrival, may we hear you call us to do likewise by living accordingly to your ways that lead to life abundant for all. Holy Spirit, empower us to pick up the charge of the prophets and boldly pave a way for Christ's return by intentionally living as vessels of hope in our homes, our church, and our communities, both now and in the year to come. Amen.
Family, for leading us this morning in our Advent candle lighting. We have the privilege now to unite together in prayer, and as always, we want to acknowledge that when we gather here for worship on Sunday morning, we all come through the doors with joys that we might be celebrating in our lives, giving thanks to God for His work in our midst, concerns that we might be carrying on our hearts that we want to offer to God as well. And so as we enter into prayer, we'll begin with silence, so that the things that are on your heart today, you'll have the opportunity to speak to God in the quiet of your heart. You might want to remember the names of these folks who you see on the screen before you receiving nurture from our congregational care team. Your prayers continue to avail much in their healing. I might also want to remember today our mission team that left for Puerto Rico yesterday, a team of 14 folks from Trinity going to provide aid as Puerto Rico is still recovering from the hurricane there. So remember them throughout your prayers this week. But let us unite our hearts and pray together. God with us. We pray this morning that during this Advent season of holy expectation, you will draw us together in unity. That our praise and our worship might echo in these walls and beyond through our lives. In this Advent season of holy expectation, draw us together in mission, that the hope within will be the song we sing and will be the melody of our lives. In this Advent season of holy expectation, draw us together in service, that the path we follow as we sing our way to the manger might give us a glimpse of eternity. And teach us to pray as we pray together the words our incarnate Savior Jesus the Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Let us continue to pray as we cry out for our longing to a God who's listening, and we rejoice for the saving grace that paved the way for us to walk into heaven. Sing with us.
As always, we want to thank you for your extravagant generosity to support the mission and ministries of our church. Since last Sunday, we've received an additional 80 commitment cards that bring our total pledge giving for 2018 to $1.7 million, which is just a tremendous start. So again, thank you for your generosity. You'll notice that commitment cards were included in your bulletin this morning. If you've not yet had the opportunity to make your commitment for the glory of God, we invite you to do that this morning as we worship together. But let us pray. God, indeed, we thank you that you are the giver of every good thing we enjoy in life. And it is our joy and our privilege to give back to you from what you first gave to us. We pray that our tithes and our offerings bring glory and honor to your name. And we pray, O God, that you multiply them, that you have your will and your way with them as we seek to partner with you in bringing forth your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hearing that iconic song is certainly one sign of what time of year it is, isn't it? Here's another one. Happy New Year. No? Actually, it is. You see, for us as people of faith, this is something that we have celebrated for centuries, that the Christian church follows a little bit different rhythm from the rhythms of the world. And so, according to the liturgical calendar of the church, it is the first Sunday of Advent that is the beginning of a new year. Because with this day, we begin a new year of remembering the story of salvation and the story of God coming into the world. Even the word Advent points us in that direction. Advent coming from a Latin root that means to come to. And so for generations, we have remembered this as a season of being reminded and celebrating and looking forward to coming in at least three different expressions. We remember that Jesus Christ has already come into the world as a babe and grew up and became a man whose life and death and resurrection is God's salvation plan for us. We remember that happening 2,000 plus years ago. We celebrate the coming that can happen into individual hearts and lives and into communities of faith, and that the presence of Jesus can be in us and with us. And we look ahead to the coming that is still out in the future, when God's reign through Christ coming again among us is fully recognized, and the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven comes to its full reality. So this is Advent and the beginning of a new year for us. So because of that, it is during these few weeks leading up to Christmas that we read scripture passages that help us think about that and help us anticipate what it is that is coming. Today we start with the Gospel of Mark. Each year in that Christian calendar, there is one particular gospel that serves as the focus. So one year we primarily focus on passages from Matthew traditionally, one year from Luke. This year it happens to be Mark. And so here are these words that come to us from the very beginning of Mark's gospel. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. John was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized, to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, one stronger than I am is coming after me. I am not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives on this day. Amen. So indeed, the signs of Christmas are all around us. For at least the last couple of weeks, and in some cases even longer than that, people have been putting up the decorations to help show this. So in our homes, we've been doing some of that work, many of us. In stores and in shopping malls, we see evidence of that happening. And then just this past week, right here in this worship space and in other places around campus, those signs begin to go up that tell us what time of year it is. Now, if we go out and take a drive through town, we'll see lots of those secular signs of the season. We'll see Santa Claus. And we'll see snowmen, and we'll see reindeer, and we'll see jingle bells. And then intermingled with all of those secular signs, there are also the sacred signs of the season. And it's a wonderful thing, I think, that those symbols are out there, not only within the church, but out there in the community and the world, that the mingling of sacred and secular, just as it should be in our lives, that there is this sense of it all happening and all being together at the same time. So we see the angels and we see shepherds and wise men. Even right up here on our altar this morning, we see that nativity scene that calls to mind what we think of as the beginnings. Animals all gathered around in the barn. Joseph and Mary, the doting parents. And then a manger. Serves as the first resting place for the Holy Child, Jesus. So those are the things that typically capture our imagination and our thoughts when we get to this time of year. And so when we turn to Scripture, that's what we expect to find. We expect to find evidence of those things. And in Matthew and Luke, we definitely do. But in the Gospel of Mark, we don't get any of that. Now, the Gospel of Mark starts the way we might expect it to, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ. But then there's no angel coming to Mary or to Joseph. There are no shepherds or wise men showing up. Mark kind of jumps straight ahead to what is going to happen a little bit later. And so Mark, instead of all of those pristine scenes and signs and symbols that we are most familiar with, Mark gives us John the Baptist. That quirky man with the unfashionable clothes and the unusual diet. That's who Mark is going to give us for Advent? Yes, that is exactly who Mark is. But we remember that John is not only that quirky character that we meet out in the desert. John is also the one that if we turn to our other gospel friend Luke, we remember that when Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth to share the news that she was going to give birth to a child, Jesus, do you remember what happened? When Elizabeth hears it, John, who is still in the womb, starts wiggling around. He cannot wait to get out. John is already excited before he even comes into the world about this cousin of his who will be at the center of God's salvation plan for humankind. And so from early on, John sees it as his sole purpose. His reason for being is to deliver one message. And he will devote his whole life to sharing this one message that he feels compelled to offer. And the message begins this way.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
And when John sings that message out in the wilderness, he is striking a familiar chord with his people. You see, the people of Israel have been hearing and singing that song for hundreds of years. It first got picked up in the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah sharing a message at a time when the people were living in exile and when they needed some comfort and they needed some hope. Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, we hear him saying, "Comfort my people. Let them know that their term of penalty has ended. Prepare a way for the Lord. A new day is coming," Isaiah says. "And it will be a very different day." You know, it is from that 40th chapter of Isaiah, that one chapter of Scripture, that Handel bases five of the movements in the Messiah. I invite you to go home this afternoon and read just Isaiah 40, just that one chapter. It will take you about a minute. And as you read that, my guess is that if you've ever heard the Messiah, you'll start singing or at least hearing those refrains in your head. Lots of familiar words, not only for the people of Israel, but for us. But what's interesting in today's passage is that when John the Baptist picks up that phrase, he strikes that familiar chord with the people, but then he adds a new twist. You see, what John has to share is not just the expectations for the Messiah. He doesn't just announce what Messiah is going to do. John also announces that there are expectations for us. That if we are going to be people who say we want to welcome this Messiah, then there is something required of us as well. And the word that John uses is repent. Well, actually, he doesn't use the word repent because that's an English word and he wouldn't have spoken it in English. But it's the way it gets translated for us. But the word from the Greek New Testament that we translate into, which was derived from whatever John would have spoken, that word is the word metanoia. And the word metanoia, in its most literal sense, means to change one's mind. Now let me talk about that for a moment, because we're not talking about a change of opinion from one idea to another, from one side of an argument to another side of an argument. No, when John talks about repenting in the sense of changing one's mind, he is talking about a complete reorientation in such a way that the way we look at everything around us becomes different. And that if we are going to truly welcome this Messiah, this one who comes to save us, not only into the world, but into our lives, we will need to reorient our way of thinking. It's this idea that the Apostle Paul picks up on later as he is writing to the Philippians. remember in chapter 2 of Philippians, he says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. A changing of one's mind, a reorienting of one's very way of being, because you see, the mind, it was understood, was connected to the way in which one would live, and so therefore it was also connected to the heart. Changing of heart and mind in such a way that everything is made new. Prepare. Repent, John says. And as we hear that voice crying out in the wilderness, we realize that the kind of preparing John is calling us to is not the kind of preparing that we often spend much of our time at this time of year focused on. Anybody else besides me already spent hours setting up the home with lights and Christmas tree and decorations and maybe fussing over some lights that didn't work, that worked perfectly fine when you put them away last year, but then you pulled them out this year and they didn't? Now, there's a place for all of that. The signs and symbols that we put up in here, that we put up in our homes, that we see out in stores and in, on the streets, there is a place for all of that. It can be an outward sign of something that goes much deeper. But we got to make sure that we're taking the time to do the deeper part. Because you see, the most important preparations that happen at this time of year are not the preparations that we make to our homes or to our mailboxes or to the exterior of our houses. The most important work that we do is the work that we do internally. Kind of reminds me of a couple who is getting ready for their first child. They've heard that they're going to have a baby. And so what starts to happen? You start making preparations, right? You start thinking about, okay, what do we need to get ready? And you start thinking about cribs and bassinets and changing tables and mobiles that'll hang over the crib and what colors are going to be in the baby's room. Maybe you start even thinking about which room is going to be the baby's room. All of that work happens, and there are showers, and there are presents, and there are parties, and there are celebrations. And all of those are a part of the anticipation, a part of the excitement, a part of getting ready. But all of that will mean nothing if the parents, that couple, haven't also done the work of preparing their lives and their schedules to restructure life, to reorient priorities in such a way that they can make room for that child as a part of their family. That is the invitation that comes to us at the beginning of Advent. Let every heart prepare him room. It doesn't say let every house, let every let every heart prepare him room. And so this year, we are inviting you to join together during this season of Advent in singing our way to the manger. There are some wonderful songs that leap off the pages of Scripture at this time of year. John the Baptist's song, Out in the Wilderness, that helps us begin to get ready. Mary's song, when she hears the news, that song that we sometimes refer to as the Magnificat. Let my soul magnify the Lord. When she hears the news that she's going to bear this child. Zechariah's song, when in old age he finds out that his wife Elizabeth is going to give birth. The angel's song, when they come to the shepherds to announce the good news that this child has come. All of these songs help us move toward Christmas and the manger that is awaiting us there. And so it's no surprise that one of the main signs of the season is the music, right? All of the Christmas carols, many of which you know by heart by now, you can sing them in your sleep, which is wonderful, and also a good reason for us to step back and really listen this year, because embedded in those carols that we can just rattle off with ease without really thinking about it, embedded in those carols are a lot of wonderful lyrics that can help us get ready this time of year. I invite you to use the songs of the season this year as a way to prepare your heart, as devotional tools to help you get the inside ready for the coming of Christ. A little over a week ago, I stumbled across a playlist on Spotify. It's a compilation of songs that's entitled Adore that was put together last year by Chris Tomlin and some other artists. And that has become my go-to list, my go-to place for worship and adoration this Advent season. There's one song that is on that list that the lyrics, here's a portion of the lyrics from that song that just I keep wanting to play over and over to make sure I let it sink in. A king like this, a saving love that would not forsake us, betrayed by a kiss and led to the cross for our forgiveness. The light has come. He is Christ the Lord. He is Christ our Savior. I bow my heart before no other name. I bow my heart before no other king. Friends, this Advent, let's pray. And let's really make room. Let's sing our way to the manger, singing our faith as we go in such a way that when we get there, we will be ready. We will be ready to bow down and worship the one who comes to save us. Let every heart prepare and heaven and nature and heaven and nature and
we come to this table and we give thanks to God. Heaven and nature together sing the praises of God, creator of heaven and earth, who sent messengers along the way to encourage us to prepare. John the Baptist and Isaiah and others who encouraged us to turn back toward God, whose love never fails. And then in the fullness of time, God came in Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist cried out to us to prepare the way to return to God, to change, to repent, and to follow again. And through Christ, God
resurrection, God gave birth to the church and called us to go out and to share that love with all the world. We remember that on the night before he died, Jesus gathered the disciples around him. And he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And again, he gave thanks to God. And he gave it to the disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." And so we come to this table offering ourselves. We come to this table bowing down in adoration before our Savior, our Lord, and our King. We pray for you. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can go out into the world as the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood. And by your Spirit, O God, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory, and we all feast together around his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. We invite those who are serving this morning to join us at the meal and meals. In Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is an open table. It's a place where everyone is welcome to come and receive these gifts of God's love and grace. So we invite you to come forward out the left side of your row and receive the elements and take the bread and dip it into the cup. Then you can return to your seats by the other side. You're also welcome to spend as much time at the kneeling benches in prayer as you like. And this morning you might think about what it means for you to prepare room for Christ during Advent, to turn your hearts and your lives toward him again, to allow him to change and transform you. Everything is ready. Please come. Thank you.
you pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks for this holy meal in which you've given yourself to us. We give you thanks that you are God with us, that you have come in Jesus Christ, and we pray that we today would commit ourselves to go forward and bow down to worship you as Lord and King, and go out and share your good news with others. All this we ask in the name of Christ. We go out knowing that the light that has come is the one born to deliver his people. And so as we make ready our hearts, may we go and proclaim that to all. Stand and sing with us. Come, thou long-expected Jesus.
Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set the people free. Come, our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Jesus, strength and consolation, hope of all the earth goes, be desire of every nation.
As you leave today, may you go out singing. May you go out listening with new ears to the sounds of the season and the words that speak to hearts and lives. May you go out preparing, especially on the inside, to make room this year. Go into